year ago, we created and adopted a new vision statement for this congregation. It's a great vision statement, but in order for a great vision statement to be effective, we need to know it. We need to understand it, and we need to really live it. So to help us do that for the next 6 weeks, we are going to spend some time on this. We are going to learn it. We're going to talk about how we can live it better. And hopefully we will allow ourselves to be changed by it. And we're going to be learning about that here and during our services. But I also really want to encourage you, if you aren't already, to be a part of one of the small groups that are meeting. We've got two of them meeting right now, one at the McCulloughs on Fridays and one at the Tepkes on Wednesdays. And that's a time where we can come together and really discuss some of these things that we're talking about here in the services. So I encourage you to do that. And there's more information on those in your bulletin. But for one, I am really, really excited about this. And so to kick it off, I would like you all to stand, and we're going to say this vision statement together. It's up there on the screen. So let's speak this together. At Edgebrook Covenant Church, we seek to be a people who are encountering a living God, creating a loving community, participating in a compelling mission. Very good. We are going to do that another time, and we're going to add three very simple motions: up, around, and out. Okay? One more time. At Edgebrook Covenant Church, we seek to be a people who are encountering a living God, creating a loving community, participating in a compelling mission. Very good. You can be seated. Now, you will see that mission statement is on the cover of your bulletin, and I've got one that Sadie McCullough already beautifully colored for me. Remember, these are also coloring pages, and there are colored pencils throughout. That's not just for kids. It's, you know, a creative outlet for us all during the services, so make use of that. But the vision statement is right there on the bulletin cover. What I want to challenge you to do is to take this home, to put it someplace visible, someplace where you will see it every day, and commit 5 seconds a day to learning this vision statement, so that when you think about Edgebrook Covenant Church, or when you know you are talking to someone and they say, oh, you go to Edgebrook, what are you all about there, that you can naturally say, at Edgebrook, we are a people who seek to encounter a living God, encounter a living God, create a loving community, and participate in a compelling mission. So we want that to come naturally. That is the goal. So that's something we can all work on together. So a few minutes ago, Pastor Greg read to you the parable of the barren fig tree. And, you know, that is a parable that I have been thinking a lot about lately. And remember, a parable, to borrow a title from a really fantastic book, is a story with intent. But also, if you are in my preschool, Sunday school class, cross-training class, you'll know that a parable is a story that teaches a lesson. And I believe that in some ways, this parable really parallels with our vision statement. Hear the words of Jesus once again in Luke 13, starting with verse 6. Then he told this parable, and this is Jesus they're talking about. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and I'll fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, cut it down. Now you might think, whoa, that's pretty harsh, and that's a parallel with our vision statement. Well, hear me out here. So I was recently listening to a friend of mine who has spent a lot of time in the Middle East, and he was talking about this parable and how it's quite common in the Middle East to grow a fig tree in the middle of a vineyard. And if you've never seen a fig tree before, we've got a slide of one up here that I want you to see. So this is what a fig tree looks like, okay? And so the reason for the fig tree in the middle of the vineyard is twofold. For one, to produce figs, obviously, but also to provide shade for the vineyard workers. Okay, so the two purposes of the fig tree in the middle of the vineyard are to bear fruit and to provide shade for the workers. So can you start to see the parallel to the vision for our church? Providing shade for the workers is, I think, much like creating a loving community, taking care of one another, providing for each other's needs, providing a place of respite and refreshment. And likewise, bearing fruit is much like participating in a compelling mission of being fishers of men, of telling and showing the story of Christ's love to a world who desperately needs to hear it, to believe it, and to be changed by it. The fruit of the church are the lives changed by the story of Christ told through it. So the two purposes of the fig tree and the vineyard are also two purposes of the church. If we are creating a loving community, we should be a place that provides a bit of comfort and respite for the community of faith. Absolutely. But we need to be careful that we don't get a little too comfortable and a little too relaxed and forget that the reason for our rest is so that we can fuel up to engage in the work of producing fruit. If what we do in here and out there only provides shade for the workers, we are missing one of our purposes, the main one, I would argue, of bearing fruit. And according to this parable, that carries some pretty heavy consequences. And yes, there's a flip side. If we labor without any type of rest or refueling, we burn out. The church has to be both providing shade and bearing fruit, creating a loving community that allows us to fully participate in a compelling mission. And in the next few weeks, we're going to unpack these two aspects more, what it means to create a loving community and what it means to participate in a compelling mission. But today, I want to concentrate on the first part of the vision statement. Anybody remember what it was? Good, that was quick. Encountering a living God. Now, I also think that this parable parallels with that as well. This parable talks about the owner of the vineyard, and the owner of the vineyard is having a conversation with the vineyard laborer, which in some versions is called a vine dresser. I love that, vine dresser. I'm going to use that. So the owner is having a conversation with the vine dresser. It's a dialogical encounter. It's a two-way conversation. The owner, first of all, physically comes to the tree and the vine dresser. He's looking for that fruit. He physically embodies that space. He speaks to the vine dresser about this concern for the tree. He talks about how he's been looking for fruit and has not seen it. And for care for the whole vineyard, not wanting his resources to go to waste if there's no production of fruit, he tells the vine dresser to cut it down. But he then allows space for the vine dresser to respond. He even asks him a question. He asks him, why should it use up the soil? The vine dresser now talks back to the owner. And I can only imagine that a vine dresser to talk back to a vineyard owner in such a way after the owner has kind of already made a judgment call implies that there was some sort of relationship there. That the vine dresser must have known something of the character of the owner to know that he could be so bold as to intercede on behalf of that fig tree, that he could implore the owner to give him a little more time to act, to try something maybe a little drastic and risky even. Because from what I understand, and unfortunately Wayne Schimpf isn't with us today, he's in the hospital and we keep him in our prayers, but he's kind of our resident, you know, botanist, arborist, environmentalist, probably a few more ists. But from what I understand, sometimes when a tree is not producing fruit, you can dig a trench around the roots and add fertilizer to it in hopes that those roots will drink up those nutrients and take it up through the tree and kind of put the tree into shock and make it produce fruit. It's risky because the root system may not recover from that shock, and it may kill the tree. And the thing about this story, we don't know how it ends. We don't know what happens to that fig tree. We don't even know if the owner granted the permission to dig the trench. What seems to be more of the focus in this story is the interaction, the conversation, the vine dresser's encounter with the owner. It's the owner's involvement with and concern of the stewardship of the tree. It's the dialogue between the two. It's the fact that the owner communicates honestly and clearly with the vine dresser. The owner obviously loves his vineyard enough that he's not going to waste resources on something that is not fulfilling its purpose. And yet the owner is one that has a relationship with his workers. He converses with them and allows space to listen to what they have to say. The vine dresser, believing in the potential of that tree, responds clearly and honestly back to the owner. It's really an ordinary, yet an extraordinary encounter between the vine dresser and the owner of the vineyard. What does it mean to encounter a living God? What does it mean to be a vine dresser in the owner's vineyard? What does it mean to have a relationship with the owner? What does our dialogue with God look like? I believe that God is involved with and is concerned about the stewardship of his creation, us being part of that creation and of his church. God invites us into conversation with him through his created order. There is constant opportunity for dialogue. God communicates with us through circumstances, through nature, through dreams, through other people, through ourselves, and we communicate back to God through our prayers, our actions, our thoughts, our intentions, our emotions, our desperation, our lament, our grief, our praise, our very breath. It is an ongoing, intentional, interactive relationship between creator and creation. God takes up space here. At one time, it was as a man who was born, who walked and talked, who lived in relationship with people like you and I, who prayed, taught, guided, and showed people how to live. And then he died. And then sent his spirit as a gift to us to continue walking and talking and teaching and guiding and showing us how to live. Let's not let the fact that it's a little bit of a different format throw us off from allowing ourselves to encounter a living God with an ongoing relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. The God of the universe loves us. The God of the universe cares about our day, the trivial and the monumental. He cares that we are in healthy relationship with him so that we can be about fulfilling his purposes through us. You know, every day when I pick up my girls, my daughters from school, I'll say, "How was your day?" And when they say, "Great," and I know it really was because they dive into these stories about what made it so great, and they're super excited, it fills my heart with joy. I love that. I love to share those moments with them. And on the days when I get a very curt "Fine," and I know that it really wasn't fine, it concerns me. I want to know about it. I want them to pour their hearts out to me. I want to see if maybe there's a way I can help, and usually there isn't. Usually I know if I try to intervene, it'll make things worse, but I want them to share those moments with me as well. And I find that when they choose to share their life with me, and I in turn am really there and listening and being present to them, many times, in the happy moments, I can physically see their joy increase as they share those moments with me. And in those hard times, there are times where I can physically see their load begin to lighten because they're sharing it with me. I believe that's how God feels about us, magnified. God wants the details of our lives, from our innermost thoughts to our outermost actions. And when we share these things with God, and this can be done so many different ways. You know, we at our leadership retreat yesterday, you know, we were taught that conversation with God doesn't always have to look like this, you know? We don't always have to have our eyes closed and our hands folded. We can have encounters with our living God anytime, anywhere. But when we let God in and make space for God's presence and listen for God's voice and choose to follow it, even if that conversation leads us into risky places, we live in Christ, and Christ lives in us. We live in relationship with our living God, and our joy increases, and our load begins to feel a little lighter, and our path a little straighter, and our purposes a little clearer, and His will gets a little more done on earth as it is in heaven.